You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
It's the IT of the Knee Show, and this is episode 181. We have the special guests for this show is Jay Adams, stuntman, actor, professional wrestler extraordinaire, talking about life in Hollywood and Hollyweird.
Hasn't kicked my ass yet.
And has not, no.
Night's young.
We also have the team in here from Merit Networks, Jason Brown, the chief janitorial officer, and Pierrette, talking about some events coming up and some other awesome things going on. And we are live.
Today's episode is brought to you by Fellow Shredders. You may think that all shredders are created equal, but only Fellows are built for durability and maximum performance. So they get the job done every single time. Plus, with features like 100% jam-proof system and silent shred, Fellow Shredders are at the forefront of technology. To learn more about the world's toughest shredders, visit Fellows, Fellows.com.
Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy Spinning to the IT and D Show?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone tries. The hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT in the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT in the D show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big.
How big?
It's way too big.
I can get it all the way in.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going, or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
But it's delicious.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D show. Tough guy.
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed. Sir, had you better buckle up. Buckle this. Ludicrous speed. Go.
It's the end of January. I have my bottle of Big Mac sauce, my copy of 1984, and this is the IT and the D Show, episode 181, broadcasting here live, Studio One, beautiful Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Shout out to Randy and Ian filling up the Twitters. Give us a follow on all our social stuff. and then Mark
social
our judicial system. And social media.
Maybe the best thing on your social feed right now.
Mark your calendars. February 16th, we are going to be in Royal Oak at the Hamlin Corner. It's always a good time. We usually take over the left part of the bar. They've always taken good care of us. So from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock.
It's so nice to deal with a local establishment that actually wants us to be there.
Seriously. It's amazing how many places boot us out for just bringing in 100 geeks that pay their own way.
We don't want to have them drink our whiskey. No.
Somebody booked a corporate party with us, and we got a lot of money.
Eminem did a video here.
That'll happen once every 4 months, but screw you guys. Yeah.
But I think the problem was, you guys just showed up with your stuff. You should have told them in advance you were coming.
We warned them. We're nice.
So hey,
it's not like a flash mob.
we got a packed studio tonight. Segment two, we are joined by the team from Merit. Jason Brown, the chief janitorial officer in Purette, talking about everything that Merit has going on, including some events.
Yeah, kind of cool event coming up.
And they're hiring. So we're going to want to know about that. Segment three, we got Jay Adams in the house. He is
Righting a long-standing wrong that we've been doing the show for 3 years, and we have never had Jay.
Jay's a pro wrestler turned stuntman turned actor. You might have seen him in Batman Superman. You may have not, but we'll tell you where you can see him.
And you probably saw him and not the guy that hopped on stage during the Kevin Smith show.
Exactly. Exactly.
Talking about all the scenes that he wasn't in.
That he wasn't in.
So this has been an absolute. So I got to start the show off with kind of the bomb going on in the tech world right now, which is our president. You know, in his first week of office, already has an immigration ban, which has sent ruffles through the technology community, because all the tech companies that you ever have heard of, from Google to Facebook to Cisco to even Ford, for that matter, has employees with either H-1B visas or has employees in those countries, per se, because they have remote offices. And people don't know if they're getting home or if they can go see these offices or what in the blue hell is going on. So I ask you, what in the blue hell is going on?
I don't know. Like, because you read one point of view from a certain point of view. You read one POV and it's the end of the world as we know it and I feel fine. And then you read the other point of view and it's, well, but Obama did it too, and that was fine, and nobody railed.
But Obama didn't actually.
Because we all get our facts from memes now, and that's how that happens.
But it's caused a ruffle now where I don't know where to get my coffee. I don't know which.
Because Starbucks is going to hire. Well, so that's my whole thing is like, so now basically, Trump signed the executive order, and hey, there's a ban on immigrants from apparently the Rothschild bank companies, which is amazing. But Canada stepped right up, the Canadian PM, and just said, hey, we're fine. Come on in. So now I'm just sitting here waiting for the let's close the Canadian border for 90 days while we evaluate things. Yeah.
Gosh. Well, the Google CEO flat out said, everyone return to the U.S. now, like just now.
And today they had a big walkout. The 2,000 people walked out of Google's Mountain View campus, and Sundar was actually up giving comments about what he thought about it. And I think Airbnb was awesome, and they said, if you've been displaced, we'll give you free Airbnb lodging. Starbucks hiring 10,000 refugees. I mean, there's a lot of really cool shit going on.
Well, and explain something to me, because I didn't really get how this happened.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Right.
Okay. Well, Bernie Sanders.
No. So apparently there was a taxi strike at JFK.
Right. Basically, the taxi drivers are like, the union said, in solidarity of our brothers that are being stopped, we're not going to do drop-offs or pickups from JFK.
So while this happened, Uber said,
there's not a taxi driver in New York that doesn't have a name that has an O with a line through it somewhere.
Right. But while this happens,
or something with umlauts. Or a cedilla.
Right.
A little tail under their seat.
Exactly, yeah.
So Uber sees this as the capitalists that they are and said, hey, no more surge at JFK. We're going to take care of you. And
that would be great. And so, if it weren't for the fact that one of the Uber higher-ups is one of Trump's appointees. And which is why Lyft just turned around and gave $1 million to the ACLU.
Which created hashtag Uber, delete Uber, right?
Hashtag delete Uber started trending. Yeah.
Right. But now Uber gave $3 million.
Well, that means that something happened, right?
So, yeah. I mean,
it's obviously had some kind of impact. We're going to give $3 million. And then even better today, they were actually targeting people who like the ACLU on Facebook for that special ad, basically talking about their response to it.
Well, they got destroyed over that.
They got destroyed.
Everyone, yeah, because they did sponsored ads. If you like the ACLU,
we need Mike White in here again. We really do. It's been a while.
No, it's like that company. Like, it's just funny to me. Like, I can't keep track of where I can shop tomorrow. Like,
Bob, Walmart is always safe.
Right.
Walmart is always safe.
No, it's not. They don't pay their employees and food stamps.
Tim Hortons. You're good with Tim Hortons.
Good. I was in Canada yesterday. It's so much better across the border. Their croissants are like flaky and delicious, and here they're like soggy and mushy.
And their coffee smells like weed.
Their coffee smells like weed.
It does. Well, here you find it in the parking lot, too. That's strange. In Canada,
Tim Hortons over there is called Tim Hortons. Over here should be Jim Hortons. It's not at all the same.
No, it's totally different.
It's horrible.
No, there's just Tim's. They want to go to Tim's, and they like hang out there. Like here, it's just like, let's go to the drive-thru. There, like, go. Like, yeah. It's like
they make it a day, though.
Yeah,
they'll hang out for a couple hours.
Right,
play some euchre. Yeah, totally.
So here's what I found out too. Something interesting. We talked about the Fappening, which everyone was gloriously.
That was Labor Day weekend 2 years ago. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I remember the day. You
know, the world was introduced to Jennifer.
Forget the Challenger explosion. Forget the JFK assassination. Where were you when the Fappening happened?
That's it. And we were all introduced to the gloriousness of Jennifer Lawrence's butthole.
Very clean, very clean.
Right, but the guy that did this got 9 months in prison.
And a $5,000 fine.
And a $5,000 fine.
And we've talked about this before. He is the Lee Harvey Oswald of this entire chain of events because it's been discussed over and over and over again, even on this show. He didn't hack anything. He didn't. It was a bunch of photo collectors sitting on the dark web that were trading stuff back and forth. And the new guy in the group got mad because people wouldn't give him crap early enough. So he just went ahead and just blasted everything they had out. And that's how the Fappening happened.
And it was all based on a phishing scheme too, right? Basically, people were like, hey, I'm Apple. Please reset your password.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you ever get one of those emails,
because it's
don't do it.
It's oh wait, I forgot to put not official.
Oh,
but, I remember there. But for only getting 9 months. No one
totally worth it.
Totally. Like, why would you not do that in the future? Like,
he should be on a stamp.
Right. Susan B. Anthony, the Fappening guy.
He should be on the $20 bill.
Thank you.
No, he's going to have an easy 9 months in prison, too. You walk into prison and, like, you're the guy who released all those nudes. All right, cool. You're
right. Here's a pack of smokes. Here was me. We got you.
Everybody stands up and they start clapping their hands.
Right. Hey!
He gets the slow clap as he walks in.
The champagne like shower when you walk in the door.
He gets the Star Wars parade in the medal given by Trump. Like he acknowledges R2-D2 who beeps at him, you know. But the internet's a weird place, and I for some reason I loved it this week for two reasons. One was and why does companies like McDonald's do this? Because they know everybody goes bad shit bananas. They gave away 10,000 bottles of Big Mac sauce.
Ooh.
Which everyone knows,
dude,
it's ketchup and mayonnaise and relish.
The Thousand line.
Island, yeah, Thousand
don't,
Island.
Don't say that. You take that back. You lying whore.
I'm just saying.
The line at the Royal Oak McDonald's.
It's around the block.
Wrapped around the block, down the street. And like into another zip code.
For a bottle of salad dressing.
For a bottle of Thousand Goddamn Island dressing.
No, no. Here's where it gets worse. I mean better. I mean worse. Is
is eBay.
eBay. They don't just go home and eat it. You think you drink it out of the bottle or put it on your hand and lick it? No. They go to eBay and they're fetching like $200-$300 for a bottle of salad dressing.
All right, I got an idea, guys. All right, so after the show, we're going to go to McDonald's, and we're going to order a bunch of Big Macs with extra, extra, extra Big Mac sauce.
And just scrape it off into a bottle.
Scrape into a little jar.
And create our own labels.
Big Mac sauce.
There you go.
No, how about I just give them Thousand Island, and then we mark it up to $100, and it was really $1.
We just buy bottles of Thousand Island, cross out Thousand Island, and write in
Big Mac sauce. This is a Wishbone brand.
No, but it's like McDonald's brand. I just want to know what's wrong with people. What's wrong with people? Like,
We talked about when Hopcat opened downtown and people stood in line for 5 hours for free crack. Really?
Do you have a day job?
Yeah, do people not have jobs?
So, hey, boss, I'm going to need the afternoon off because McDonald's is giving out
Big Mac sauce.
Big Mac sauce.
And I'm going to make $100.
You're fired.
Right. Like,
Just leave your key card at the door as you go to McDonald's.
Take off your McDonald's hat. And right. Leave it.
Nothing shows us more that society is just like going to burst at the seams when someone gives away free something and everyone goes B-A-N-A-N-A-S bananas. Yes.
Can we give away like
a second there?
I had to think how to spell it.
Can we give away like sound tiles, like official Podcast Detroit sound tiles, and see if there's a line that develops at the door for them?
No. When we replace them, absolutely. Right, I think we should have free, like we'll have them autographed. We'll do something with them.
But like for what I hate the internet for Big Mac sauce, I love the internet in cases like this when a Dr. Phil guest is so utterly stupid.
Oh, dude, the how about dad?
It's become a national phenomenon.
If I never, dude.
Let me give you a backstory. There's a 13-year-old girl who beats the heck out of her mom, and she's a tyrant. She needs to go to military school. And the crowd's booing and blah, blah, blah. So she comes out and says just straight up, cash me outside. How about that?
How about that?
So
I was kidding. Like, was she from Louisiana?
I don't know.
What was funny, though, everything she said, her mom was translating. Her mom was – it was so hilarious.
It was like a two-and-a-half-year-old with mumble mouth.
Yeah, if you watch the clip, the girl says something, and then the mom says, well, she says this.
It's even worse if they, like, close caption it at the bottom. It's like she's speaking English, and they're close captioning her at the bottom.
No, but here's where here's where the internet gets amazing is – every like producer, techno DJ on the planet.
Oh, there's a remix.
Sampled like,
oh yeah,
T-Pain sampled her, made songs. Just go to YouTube and go, how about that? I don't even know how to spell that.
It's how
bow
B-O-U or B-O-W-D-A-T, yeah.
A remix. And they're just amazing.
Hundreds.
Yeah. Like, and they're good. Some of them are really like all auto-tuned, like T-Pain style. And like, God, I love the internet. Like, just as much as I hated you, like, you totally brought me back. Now you're amazing.
You pulled me back in.
Right. You totally pulled me back so in.
The internet says the official pronunciation or spelling is H-O-W-B-O-W-D-A-H. How about that?
How about that? There's not even a T. Yeah. Oh.
Cash me outside.
How about that?
It's all about the syllable emphasis, apparently, as always.
The songs were good. The first thing I said to my kid was, I'd give anything to be a nightclub DJ right now and to bust that at like 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah, when everybody's just hammered.
Right, everybody's hammered. And the beat's good, and it's danceable. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, you just hear, cash you outside, how about that? Cash you outside, how about that? And then you see, like, three people would point up and look at me, and I'm like, yeah.
I think the trend started with that Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. They started on that one's still one of my favorites.
My favorite about the guy that does the Five Guys. He was in his car. He had the Five Guys, and they totally made a song about it. I'm like, who has that much time? It's like the Daft Punk guys are bored because they're not touring, and they take internet memes and
it's the same people standing in line for free Big Mac.
Totally. Oh.
So one more note on the Trump front. Dear Trump press secretary. Please stop tweeting out your password.
Mother of God.
Is this where I put my password in? Are they going to give me Dippin' Dots if I do this?
Please stop tweeting out your password.
No, you know what they reminded me of? Did you ever see like on BuzzFeed with like grandma Facebook updates?
Yeah, exactly. I tried Googling for a new cream pie recipe and bad things happened. Yeah,
It's like when you put on the Walmart Facebook page, like, where's the salad dressing?
Yeah.
You
know, like,
Walmart's like, can I help you? Like, this is our, like, Facebook page. We don't know what store you're in. But he, like, literally, there was, like, what? It's like a internet-generated password.
Yep. It was a good, strong password.
And he did it twice.
And twice in a row. So, he tweeted out his password. Someone went, dude, no, change your password. So he went and changed his password. And then tweeted out that password.
He's got to have a series of aides following him around like, what did you just tweet?
No!
What did you just tweet?
No! 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 It's like... But like he tweeted, like he retweeted an Onion article and said, yes, this is how it's done. And everybody's like, no, no.
It's even better. The Onion article's like, the press secretary is obviously here to give Americans nothing but misinformation. Right. And he didn't see the miss part.
I know. Like, he read it so fast. He's like, so retweet. Yes. But we talk about hacks all the time. Jason, you might want to hop in on this. This one's interesting. There's a high-end hotel, $300, $400 night hotel in Austria.
In Austria, yep.
That hackers got a hold of the key card machine and
crypto lockered it.
Turned that off And yeah, and ask for Bitcoin.
Wait, so the initial story was it locked everyone out of the room. So right. That's not actually what happened.
Which would have been a great story.
It would have been a phenomenal story. It just turned out they couldn't generate any key cards.
Well, you got people sitting there waiting to give you $300
to check in.
You're
yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. They're going to actually replace all their locks with regular keys next year, they said.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing.
You know what I don't get?
Well, it's like the library in St. Louis that we were talking about last week.
They're probably still without internet
you
access.
Crypto locker. All right, we'll just replace our entire network.
Well, the thing I don't get is I forget which hotel I stay at, but they have an app where I can use my app for the back of my phone. Like I would do like
Starwood.
Google Pay.
Starwood.
Yeah. And I do use my key for that. But then as I'm walking, it's easy when I have card in, open. Now I have to open up my phone. I have to type in
I gotta unlock my phone,
my 6-digit key. Then I got to open the app, and then I hope I have battery.
And meanwhile, the lady who followed me back to my room has now grown disinterested and walked away.
Exactly. Damn. Where's the bell?
Worst business trip ever.
Hit the bell. No, but like, stop making me open apps on dumb stuff like that. Like, you give me card. It's not that hard. I tried not to rhyme there. Yeah, it's not that hard.
That was a little Dr. Seuss.
I know, totally. I caught myself. Like, no, but seriously, like I know there's somebody in a boardroom saying, like, you know, we should really give an app because it'd be easy, but it's not. Just stop.
I forgot there's one more Trump story.
Oh no, enough.
Who created their new logo?
You?
Was that legit? I saw
no.
that story, and is it legit?
Yeah.
Is it the same people who made those boots from last week? The police.
Oh. Seriously, if you haven't seen the new Trump Hotel logo, you should go take a look. It's the equivalent of somebody. I loved the meme that was, hey, here's Mein Kampf with the Nazi logo on the front. Just go ahead and make it look. I want to copy your homework, but make it just change it a little bit.
Just look at the white space.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's not.
It's not. Dave got it from a satire site and he said
no?
It was real.
I just happened to, I pulled it up on my phone. It can't be real.
Oh, not. I saw like four different places talking about it, so I just assumed.
Fake news.
Nah.
It's an alternative fact.
Right. My friend at Occupy Democrat said it was real. So you know what? I never heard this before. I don't know if anybody's done this. We put a sandwich bag of kitty litter on your dashboard and your windows will never fuck up.
Well, it's super absorbent, right?
I didn't know that was a thing, though.
And in a place like Houston, Texas, where, I mean, I lived there for a while. And so every morning your car is guaranteed fogged from the inside. There's no real good way to get it off. You know, you can take your shirt and rub it and it still just doesn't work real well. So there's a thing that if you take something full of kitty litter and put it on your dashboard, it's supposed to stop the moisture from fogging your windows.
But apparently the fine police officers, the fine men in uniform and women in uniform
of Houston PD,
right, mistaken it for crystal meth. Ended up arresting this man.
All right, now I'm admittedly no crystal meth expert.
Hey, I saw Breaking Bad.
But I did watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it blue?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, there's nothing that I saw during any episode of Breaking Bad remotely resembled kitty litter.
I think the blue is just food coloring to make it look cool. I'm just kidding. Well, I don't know what
the screwed up part. It wasn't the deputies like, oh, that's definitely crystal meth. They tested the shit not once, but twice using a field testing kit. And both times it came back positive for methamphetamine.
Good God.
That's scary as shit. Basically, you can get pulled over.
Yeah.
And some cops like, oh, this lint in your pocket. Drop it in. It's like, oh, yep. Crystal meth.
No, that just gave a precedent to everybody that's sitting in jail right now for that test going.
Well, I think that test is like
– oh, those field tests. We've actually talked about this on the show before. Those field tests are notoriously inaccurate.
And old and cheap.
Like they'll come back as positive for cocaine if it finds like popcorn kernels that it's being tested. It's ridiculous.
So you know who I wouldn't want to be like from now on or this week or any week is a contractor with a Google jacket walking into a school.
This story is so screwed up.
So I don't know if he didn't know the protocol. Like usually when you go work at a school, like now they're all locked down.
Like, oh, yeah, you can't just walk into a school anymore.
So apparently this guy was an IT contractor, had a Google jacket, and walked through the building and tried to ask for the principal because he wanted to find out where the work was being done. Well, he couldn't find the principal and he left. Well, guess what? His name and
photo
face is on every news channel.
help us identify this man who is falsely identifying himself as a Google representative. Oh, yeah.
And the,
wandering
the
around
FBI
a school.
FBI was looking for him.
Yep.
Out of an abundance of caution, we've contacted the FBI.
Right. So now.
And then it turned out he was just a contractor doing his job.
This guy's just like a 55 a grand a year guy, like, you know, doing some break
just
fix,
doing for his education, job. Things right. like that. There's a lot of things that they do with
schools.
And, yeah.
Like doing some updates, some patches, some security updates. And now he's on the FBI most wanted list for walking into a school.
Dateline, Auburn Hills, Michigan.
Seriously.
But it was although, so laughably, like semi-related. So I had to explain to my father-in-law because my nephew is leaving for the Air Force in the morning. Jay, by the way, good luck, buddy. He's leaving for the Air Force in the morning. And I had to explain to him that he was talking about like maybe driving down to the airport, you know, to see him off. And I'm like, well, you know, you can't just go to the gate anymore. And he was like, what? Like, this is how long it's been since he's flown.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you can't, like, walk people to the – like, you can't even get past security without a ticket anymore. And he was like, really? I'm like, yeah, no, this is the world you live in now, whether you know it or not.
There's no Hare Krishnas handing pamphlets.
Exactly. The Church of Religious Consciousness.
Actually, tell them more. I think that if you have a special circumstance, they'll give you a gate pass.
I did mention that to them. They'll give you a gate pass to walk through if you want to go.
But yeah, just trying to walk through. It's like, let me say ID and ticket, please. I don't have a ticket.
Everybody down.
Right. Yeah. It's like walking, you know, trying to walk through TSA with, you know, Bob talking about, you know, the bomb for the client list. Yeah.
The bill of materials.
I'm on every FBI watch list. Yeah. So do you have the bomb for the meeting? Like, what? Everybody down. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the team from Merit. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 181 of the IT in the D show. Always imitated, never duplicated. We are sitting here in Studio 1, Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri, the FNG. Find us online, ITinTheD.com. Don't forget, mark your calendars. February 16th, Hamlin Corner. No cover. No speakers, no garbage, just IT networking with good folks around town.
At good locations that want
great
us to
location.
Be there.
Yeah. So this segment is brought to you by our friends at Blue Apron. If you don't know what Blue Apron is, basically they ship you, it's almost like a shoebox of food. And they, no, it's shaped like the size
horrible.
Of a, I know, but it's not, it's not, it's amazing. It comes in like a frozen package. You can, any day you want, me and my family, we do it probably 2 meals a week.
Yep.
And it's the most fun we ever had cooking. So basically, you get all the ingredients to make 4 meals for your family. There's absolutely no food waste. It's a huge deal when you're talking about like massive leftovers, massive food waste.
Dude, you know me. You've seen me cook. When I go shopping, I don't know how to cook for less than like 20.
Right. Well, the cool thing is you get to make. They make it easy enough, so if you're even a novice cook like I am or my wife is, you can make restaurant-quality dishes. Some of the meals available that were available in January are spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage and fear cake. And then, you know, pork chops, garlic piccata, scallion rice, and spinach. I've never cooked this stuff in my life, but now, like, literally, my wife made that, and it was amazing. It was one of the, like... it's not microwaved. You chop all the raw ingredients.
Yep.
And they tell you exactly how to cook it. And the last one was mushroom and chipotle pepper enchiladas with lime sour cream. Seriously, it's the whole family gets involved. The kids chop. They play like they're on Food Network. And the meals that come out are literally second to none. Do us a favor. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals free and free shipping if you go to blueapron.com/D. Lowercase the letter D. It's seriously, you... it's the best time you'll ever have. Phenomenal meals, great price, no food waste. BlueApron.com/D, a better way to cook.
Awesome. So, and like, Nuri, I know you tried it out. What'd you think?
I got my box, and I was surprised because I was worried that I'd get pre-chopped onions and things like that. And no, it's like I had a bag of spinach that was super fresh and high-quality cuts of meat. I was really impressed by that box, and I cook a lot. So even then, I was like, you know, I feel like I'm still doing something here.
No, I did. When we had the conference call with Blue Apron talking about it, I'm like, look, here's the deal. I'm like, so you've got – you know, two guys, you know, that have the whole like family kids thing. I'm like, and then you've got, you know, Captain Single over here that's in the dating lifestyle that like cooks to try to impress girls.
Impress the ladies with blueapron.com/D.
So, hey, we are joined by the team from Merit. We have Jason Brown in the house, who is the chief janitorial officer, and Pierrette, who's in charge of the company.
What's my last name?
Pendleton.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
No, it's a crap. Where are my don't notes? Do that to me. You don't know my last name.
Where are my notes?
Yeah. You do not know my last name. But I appreciate you guys coming out. Thank you for hanging out with us. So we've been out a couple times already. I know you had some updates for us, but just for anyone that hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, last time we talked with you guys was at the Cyber Summit, the yes. North American Cyber Summit down at Cobo, which was a great event. Had a lot of great, you know, a lot of good stuff going on down there. And I know you've got an event coming on the 18th, but like, so, you know, or May 18th. But so like between now and it's like, what do you guys have going on?
All right, so the most exciting thing that we're doing right now is the Michigan Cyber Inc. Convention, and that's on the 18th. May 18th, you can register for it now.
Which is the day before Motor City Comic Con.
So sure is.
We're gonna suck it up and we're gonna be there.
Yeah.
So everybody else can suck it up and be there. Don't save yourself.
This event, 550 people. It's gonna be security professionals, network professionals, comms professionals. We have Marcel Gagne from the Linux Journal. He's going to come
nice.
Talk.
Nice.
He's
yeah.
amazing. He was actually one of our guests in PingwoCon 2010.
I am in love
he came
with
down.
Him.
He's amazing.
Yes. He's also French-Canadian. He can pronounce my name correctly.
Unlike
I'm
me.
Looking at Bob.
Unlike me.
So then we're going to have Kristen Judge as our lunchtime keynote speaker. And then for dinner, we've got Chris Roberts. He's the Hacking the Human guy. I don't know if you remember him. He's yep. going to come and talk about I Am Not a Number. So it should be really, really good. The whole theme of the day, it's the 21st century organization. So with BYOD, you know, changing workplace, changing networking, you have virtual employees. Basically, everything we're going to focus on is all things security related to how organizations have changed over the years. We'll look at a lot of like digital collaboration, things like that. We're going to have a drone truck, VR demos.
A drone truck?
A yeah. truck full of drones.
Oh my yeah. God. It's like imagine, bees.
Exactly. I was like, wait, yes, like exactly, Optimus yes. Prime oh. or.
Like, why is that truck humming?
Yeah, other things we have Capture the Flag. So you can come and see all of the events, or you can do our Capture the Flag programming event. Just do that.
There's so it's not just like sit and listen to stuff. It's, you know, you can dive in, have fun, get engaged.
30, 40 speakers, networking, tons and tons of beer. So
and we'll be there.
Beer?
Yeah. Yep. It's seriously, and the perhaps the most important thing for this audience is that we're still accepting speaker presentations.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're actually still looking for speakers for it. It's like, what kind of topics are you looking for?
So we have everything like infrastructure, networking, software tools, policy management, security awareness, all things IT. We have a very, very special review committee who is going to look through some of these things. The Michigan Cyber Range is going to also be a part. We're going to do a ton of demos.
Oh, nice.
Can we do one called Don't Twitter Your Password?
Okay. Right. Can you do that one?
No.
Password no. selection and you.
So if anybody wants to learn more about it, you want to submit a presentation, we're only doing that until February 21st, and we already have way more presentations than we have slots. So if you're going to submit, make sure you know, it's a two-minute Google form, but actually put some effort in so I can get it through the review committee. You can go to merit.edu/MCR, and okay. that'll give you everything you need.
Very cool.
Yeah, awesome.
It'll be awesome.
Awesome. Is there a cost to go to this? Or
there is. So if you're a speaker, you get it for free. And if not, it's $139 for the day, or CTF is $100 only.
Which is cheaper than the 90%.
A lot of the security crowds that are going on. Yeah, absolutely.
It's cheaper than the amount of beer you're going to drink.
You don't know us very well. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we talked about Jason, we joke that you're the chief janitorial officer, but really you're the chief information security officer. And, you know,
we just put that on his badge.
Make
him feel better.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, like, we, you know, we talk a lot about what are you seeing? And I know it's a vague question, but I mean, in the world of cybersecurity, we talk, I mean, there's a breach every week when we do this show, and we can't get enough of it and don't know how to keep up with it. What did you see last year, and what are you looking for? How do you stay ahead of all this mess?
It's kind of hard to stay up to beat and understand what everything's going on within the cybersecurity infrastructure. You know, over the 2016, we were able to see a number of different cybersecurity threats, and in fact, you know, what I was putting out there as our top five. Ransomware during 2016 was huge.
Is that going away?
It won't go away.
When it's hitting hotels, we know it's crazy.
I mean, when people are going back and they're paying for the ransom in order for them to get their information back, you're going to see this continue to go on and on.
I think it was really interesting that it started out as just kind of like, you know, an individual user would get compromised and have their files taken. And then the hackers were basically like, no, there's not enough money in that, and started going after hospitals. There's another story this week where a hospital paid to get all their medical records back. It's crazy the amount of ransomware attacks going on right now.
And there's actually a new one out there where they're infecting their friends. So they send out an email to everybody in their address book, and if two people go through and they pay for the ransom, then the original sender gets their files unlocked.
That's
for free.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's
special
free.
Place in hell for people who do that.
Exactly. And then there's Doxware. Doxware is going through and they will publicly release all of your information if you don't pay for the ransom.
So how do you? I mean, it's obviously it's different from individual to corporation, but how do you stay ahead of it? We always talk, you know, in security, there's three kind of phases in terms of what you buy to secure your network. One is, you know, compliance and governance. The other one is a compelling event, meaning you got hacked majorly. And the third one is, how do you sleep at night? Kind of like a house, right? Do you need a front door lock is fine? Do you need a camera? Do you need a dog? Do you need a gun? Like, how far do you want to take this?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of like your basic coverage on a corporation, what do they need just to stay away from all this garbage?
Well, it's hard to stay away from it, but as long as you adopt some kind of framework and you start working through some of the problems that you have within your organization, the only thing you can do is, you know, be on top of everything, do your due diligence. I mean, the Centers for Internet Security came out with their 20 security controls, and within the top five, it's know your hardware, know your software, run malware, anti-malware, and take care of your administrative controls. Make sure everybody's running with user level.
Is it harder now with a hybrid environment where people are going on-prem, private cloud, public cloud? You know, because everybody's having blended IT environments. You look at three different phases of security for all of those different levels.
Well, and BYOD makes it so much fun.
And add that on top as a third layer. But I mean, it would keep me up at night if I had to be in charge of security for something like that.
Yeah, I mean, shadow IT does run amok through every organization, and I always go back to, it's like Jurassic Park. Nature found a way to make sure everything worked properly.
And then some idiot shut the fence off in the rain.
Exactly. You know,
I'm proud to be a raptor. I really, really am.
But your employees will find a way in order to get their job done, whether it's a policy or not.
You want them to do it or not. Yeah.
Exactly. So you just have to be upfront and talk to them and try and figure out how they want to do their jobs and do it securely.
Jason wrote a blog post back in October that's on our website, and I thought that was pretty good. It's called My Coffee Maker's Hacking Me. And it's actually pretty shocking.
Bob's three-year-old owns his nest.
Does.
So some of the, you know, it's basically, you know, there's a lot of stuff about cloud computing. And some of the things he outlines, you know, ways to keep your data safe and the security risks are, you know, obviously the NIST security controls that came into place. Another suggestion, Jason, you talked about was zero knowledge encryption. What's that?
It's the ability to the corporation that you're sending your information to, let's say a cloud provider, your client on your desktop generates the security keys and then pushes that out to the cloud provider, kind of like Google Drive and things like that. That way, that third party has no way of knowing how to decrypt your information. So that's zero knowledge.
Yeah. And, you know, some other stuff, too. Obviously, we can all tell that Jason is the most loved person.
That's not what the feedback boxes are saying. That's not
we don't share those with him. And then, you know, for companies of any size, I mean, very clearly training is key into really mitigating these data security threats. So human error is probably the number one cause of data breaches. So making sure that all your staff have some form of end user security training really limits the liability of incident.
And in 2016, we saw a number of companies get their W-2s compromised or sending out their W-2 information with name, address, phone number. And they were going through and submitting their tax returns on behalf of the person that they stole their information from. So they able to...
Oh, it happened a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and we're already seeing that again. It's like Christmas has started early once again. You know, we're in the tax season. And
well, if you look at mail even, it should W-2 on it. You'd think for the sake... I know it's a federal offense to steal mail, but it's not that difficult. If you see W...
If someone's looking to commit identity theft, they're not really paying attention to the penalty for opening your mailbox.
Right, yeah. Right. And right now they're looking through mailboxes in W-2, and then you got all the things.
Yeah.
True story. Yeah. It's also never underestimating. It doesn't matter how high level, how many certifications somebody has. It's also constant reminding to keep those things top of mind. True story. I'm holding up right now my cell phone with our company's internal social media on it. That's a lovely reminder from Jason. If anybody sends you an email about your W-2, please forward it to me so that I can see it. So it's just making sure you have constant awareness within your organization, too.
Be very careful, though. Make sure you reply back that email is legitimate or illegitimate. You have to be very careful with those two letters. Right. It could cost you a lot.
Don't make your password a password.
I put in there, if somebody's asking you for your username and password, don't do it. That's the same thing as, you know, somebody asking you for your W-2 information.
Sure.
Email.
So you guys, I hear you guys are hiring these days.
We are.
Yeah, no, that's Merit has a lot of positions open, but in particular, the hottest job we have going right now, we have a 24/7, 365 network operations center, and we're looking for a ton of first-level support personnel. So this can be people that, you know, we're just looking for people with technical aptitude, but if you're not necessarily all the way there and just have an interest, Merit will help you along the way. This is a really good jumping-off point for other careers in the security field.
We have an interesting program that we're going to want to talk to you about during a break. We can fill those for you.
Excellent. Tomorrow. Now, there's one small catch. But I have a feeling that with the audience that's going to listen to your show, that's not really going to be the biggest deal. We really need overnighters. So if I have any night owls that want to fill this position, anybody that's interested at all, I set up a little URL for you guys. You can go to merit.edu/careers.
Okay.
And we have all the information about this. So the ideal candidate, not that anybody that would listen to the show would be a nerd.
No.
What is this nerd you speak of?
Yeah.
We need that, but also we need people that are outgoing enough to do the technical customer support. You know, this is the front face of Merit when somebody calls with troubleshooting errors.
This is in Ann Arbor, correct?
It is in Ann Arbor overnight, and it is just, ask Jason, he's the janitor.
It's so an overnight being like a midnight to 8 shift?
Midnight to 8 or 10 to 6 or...
Okay.
There's soda. We have M&Ms.
We have bagels.
We do have Bagel Day.
Bagel Wednesdays.
And Jason.
You also have U of M benefits, too, right?
We sure do. Wow. Merit is, I cannot say enough about working at Merit. It is awesome.
Nice.
It lets me come here, hang out with you guys.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So, and on top of that, so you guys have your own training programs and that sort of stuff. Like, if companies are looking for help, you have that available as well, yes?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked a lot about... employee education and end user training really is the very first step in mitigating a data breach. Jason, what's really the average cost of a data breach?
It's anywhere between $5,000 and $50,000. During the study that was made in 2014,
So that really puts the total cost in the U.S. at about $6.5 million of a data breach, whether you're talking about lost records, reputation damage, downtime. And, you know, Merit Network, we do custom training programs in cybersecurity, executive-level workshops. We do incident response exercises, tabletop exercises, and we have more than 40 cybersecurity certifications. So what we'll do is we'll come to your organization. We can kind of – Jason will do kind of an assessment of your workforce, where you're at, where you need to be, and then we can help you build custom training programs to either train new people or do workforce development.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I agree. We talk all the time about – we talked to the green room before this. I go, you know, the cost of a breach. And I don't – you know, those numbers are – to me, it's kind of awkward.
Fuzzy, yeah.
Yeah, because you look – have you ever not gone to Wendy's or Target since the or Home Depot? We're all still going.
We've all – you know, Tylenol poisoned people and their stock went up 20%. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't Microsoft or somebody do the ads about the company that didn't get hacked?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was clever.
Interesting. So merit.edu?
Yeah, you can go to merit.edu/cybertraining for more information on that.
Okay.
Awesome. Jason Pirret, always appreciate you guys coming out. Appreciate the insights and look forward to seeing you guys at the Cyber Summit.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Awesome. Hey, we will be back. Segment 3, Jay Adams. This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. This is segment 3 of episode 181 of the IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com, and then you can do all the things there because it's all there.
We try to make it a one-stop shop.
Yeah, there's more content than probably Yahoo and the not Google, but like a few of the other ones combined. We just there's years and years and years of writings of venting and things.
And ranting. And some helpful stuff.
No, not much.
One of these days I'm going to write a really angry blog about something. We'll get there.
We're waiting.
Either. I just wrote an angry blog about my experience.
I did. I read it.
With AT&T U-verse. Yeah. And
It'll be up this week.
Golly, was I happy with U-verse this week.
Bob was so pissed off, he texted me to tell me I should go work for them to fix their call centers. That's how pissed Bob was. But this segment is brought to you by HostGator. Entrepreneurs, it's time to claim your brand online. Whether you're a first-time blogger or an experienced web pro, HostGator is your one-stop shop for all things web hosting. From design and marketing services to intuitive website builders, HostGator is with you every step of the way. They've got hundreds of templates to choose from, so you can design a beautiful website that's perfectly customized to your audience. And don't even worry about making it mobile-friendly, because they've got the tools to make sure your site looks great even on the go. They've got 24/7 friendly live support anytime, so if you have any problems or questions, you can get a hold of them. And there's a 45-day back-money guarantee, so if it's not for you or you're not happy, no, nothing lost. Also, they give you $100 worth of credits in Google AdWords for Yahoo and Bing, basically to make sure your advertising gets going.
Which isn't bad, because, I mean, it's all about making sure you're in those top three positions. Go ahead and sponsor an ad, see what happens, get some traffic.
$100 is a lot for Google AdWords.
It kind of – I mean, if you're dumb, you can burn through that in like 8 minutes. But.
I want to target all people who like the ACLU on Facebook. So basically, this sounds like a great deal. What are you waiting for? IT and the D listeners get 60% off. They're already
still blown away by that.
60, not 16.
And so they're already reasonable hosting, 60% off. Go right now, hostgator.com/ITinTheD, all put together, all uppercase, and sign up now. See what they can do for your website. Change your digital everything and go check them out. Thanks for your support.
The 100 templates intrigues me because I don't design anything. I just need it done.
Yeah.
And I can't call you anymore because then you yell at me.
I don't yell as much. Anymore. I sigh and act disappointed.
We'll also set your VCR while we're there.
That's cool. Sweet.
Right. All right. So this segment, again, righting a longstanding wrong. So I've known Jay, God, 18, 19 years now.
It's got to be something around there. Yeah, man, it's been a long time.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we knew each other back in the old 97.1 message board days.
And he still showed up?
And he still showed up.
Well, I like you, Bob.
In spite of me, because of you. Well, no. So, and it goes back to, you know, Dominski and Doyle and all those guys, you know, got to know each other through that. You've done the professional wrestling thing for a while. I mocked you incessantly for that for years. And then laughably, the promotion that Bob sucked me into was the one that was your home promotion, yeah. And we dove in the year you were retiring.
Yeah, I remember going to a show and being up at the bar at XICW, and I'm like, "Is it that guy looks familiar?" I'm like, "No, it can't be him. He wouldn't be at a wrestling show." And I'm like, "No, that is you, Dave. What the hell?" And you're like, "Oh, hey." Yeah, it was interesting.
Well, but and since then, I mean, like, you've made a really cool transition. Like, so, I mean, it, you know, so not, you know, the wrestling thing, you've started acting. You had, you know, a part in Batman versus Superman, a couple other films, a lot of commercials and that kind of stuff. And now the, you know, WGN with the Outsiders. Like, so how did you get, how'd that happen?
Well, I got my wrestling start with Dominski and Doyle way back in the day. This is probably 2000. Yeah, about 2000. And I had always been – I did a lot of stunts for them as Jay the Cable Guy, and I met a local wrestler through there, Loverboy Steve. And I had always been interested in wrestling and wanted to get into it, but never knew how. And I met Loverboy Steve, who was an active wrestler, and talked to him about schools and stuff like that, and found one online and went and did that. And I wrestled for – close to 12 years. Got to wrestle for WWE a few times, TNA wrestling, wrestle all over the Midwest, Canada, and that was, you know, a lot of fun. But it got to the point where I wasn't trying to get in the WWE anymore. I was basically
You know, in a whole, you know, like you had some injuries.
Yeah,
that,
well,
you
yeah.
know, which kind of slow.
Yeah, I mean, I broke my back.
I don't really want to break my back again. I'm good. Yeah.
But even at that point, you know, I wasn't trying to, you know, make it an effort to get into WWE anymore. I wasn't doing any tryout matches with them anymore. I was just basically doing it for fun. And yeah, then I broke my back in the ring during a match, which was unpleasant. I did finish the match, though, but amazingly.
And, impressive.
I still get yelled at because I didn't go to the hospital until the next day. And it turns out I had a broken back. But
Jesus. Yeah.
I just thought,
But it's all fake, Jay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the best part. Wrestling's fake. I'm like, yeah, tell me that 5 years ago when I'm in a hospital bed with a morphine drip. Yeah. So I was slowly wanting to get out of wrestling, and that's back when Michigan had a great tax incentive for film, and a lot of stuff was filming here. So I found a stunt coordinator through there and just started going and just kind of hanging out on sets and watching how things go down and stuff like that. And did that for a while until I finally I got an agent here in Detroit for an acting agent, and they started sending me on acting auditions. I got in the business to do stunts, but I got in, you know, on some acting auditions. I'm not going to turn them down. So that's one of my first gigs was one of the big gigs. I had a national 5-hour energy commercial
that I remember
over and over. I was like, when are you on overtime? I still get the people throwing 5-hour energy bottles at me. Like,
overpriced vitamin B.
Exactly.
Here comes the niacin flush.
So yeah, then I just slowly transitioned into doing more stunts. You know, the meeting new stunt coordinators and getting work. I did a couple episodes of Conan O'Brien when they were down in Dallas.
So you were Texas, if
yes,
I recall correctly.
Dressed as a state of Texas.
You were the state of Texas.
It reminded me of Ralph Wiggum. I'm Idaho. Yeah, like had a mattress taped to him. It's like, that's what you look like.
It was great. Yeah, it basically felt like a mattress taped to me. I got to wrestle other people dressed as other states. So that was fun. But did a couple, a big thing I got to do. I got to play a cop at Batman versus Superman. I didn't even have to do any stunts. I just played a cop. It was great.
Actually, got credit. Actually,
yeah, like, it was really cool.
I remember I watched with my wife and I'm like, oh, I got to see if Jay's on the. Like, oh my God, there's.
Yeah, that was the coolest thing. Is like,
there's not many credits on that movie. There's only like 25, 30 credits.
On Batman versus Superman? Yeah. No, there's a lot.
But I remember seeing you like right off the bat.
Yeah,
like,
it was pretty. That was my
no
first.
Pun intended.
My first big project where I had.
You were in the credits or like before Bob stopped paying attention.
Yeah. Right, which has to happen.
I had to read.
It has to happen quick, or else his attention's gone. So, and then that's a couple years ago when this new show Outsiders started filming in Pittsburgh. It turns out that one of the main actors was a guy that people used to say that I looked like all the time. Actor Ryan Hurst, and he used to do all of his own stuff on Sons of Anarchy. He played Opie on Sons of Anarchy. He used to do all of his own stuff on there. But now with this new show, he decided he didn't want to do his own stuff anymore, so he finally hired a double.
Now how tall is he?
Turns out it was me. He's 6'4".
Okay.
6'4 and a half. So I'm about an inch and a half taller than him.
Okay.
I mean, on camera. You
can't right.
Yeah, works out that we look enough alike that, you know, so for now 2 seasons I've been his stunt double.
Well, and I guess like that.
It's not like Spaceballs where like, they caught our stunt doubles. Like,
right.
Can you tell it's you?
I can because I know what I've done,
you know,
and stuff like that. But there's
that's
a lot of
me flying off that four wheeler, not
yeah,
him.
Exactly. So there's spots where, and like my wife can tell because she knows me so well. She's like, "Ah, that's you." I'm like, "Yeah," but I mean, if you don't know that it's a double, from what I've heard from other people, yeah, it's pretty. Their edits are pretty seamless.
It's like Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore, like you know,
yeah, exactly.
Like rolling in the.
Well, I mean, I guess it's that part of it for like you know, like for getting like gigs like that. Like, do you have to fit the suit? Like, is it kind of lining up with someone that you look enough alike that it you can roll that way?
Absolutely, and that's what I don't usually get to double many actors because many actors aren't as tall as me.
You're a huge freaking human being. Yeah,
most actors are around 5'6", 5'7" range, and so I can't double them very often. But it turns out Ryan, he's 6'4 and a half. He's a super tall, he's one of the rare super tall actors. So, and even before I ever got this job, people always used to tell me that I looked like him. So when they looked for, you know, and they were looking for measurements, you know, the stunt doubles will actually look for the same measurements, because the costuming all has to be the same and stuff like that. So yeah, it's very similar. And we've gotten, luckily we look enough alike that we've been able to, they show more of me than they normally would if I didn't look like them.
Right.
If they could show me on screen and get away with it if they just don't show it for too long, you know, that, you know, you can't tell that.
Hey, he passed out in his trailer. Jay, come on.
Well, there was one, what we usually do is if we have a scene, a fight scene or something, I'll be in there and shoot the wide, big action parts of it. And then they'll come in close. But, for the season, episode one that just started airing last week, we had a fight scene and Ryan actually accidentally got poked in the eye and had to go to the doctor. I had to go to the hospital. So I ended up having to do the rest of the day as him.
Nice.
All his normal stuff. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. The director was like, thankfully you look enough like him that we can just use you. So,
well, so
I worked extra hard that day, but I was proud to do it. It was great.
Well, and so for those who don't know, I mean, like, I've caught a few episodes ever since you were on that. Like, I haven't fully caught up on last season. I watched like the last two or three and then caught the first episode. Synopsis for outsiders, like what's the scoop? Because I mean, I obviously my brain immediately goes back to Stay Gold, Pony Boy, and all that stuff. But it's not
absolutely. Well, the show is Outsiders. It's on Tuesday nights on WGN at 9 o'clock, and basically the premise of is about this clan of families that live on top of a mountain that they have lived there off the grid for 200 years. For generations, they've lived up there. They grow their own food. They make their own clothes. The only time they come off the mountain, because it takes 3.5-4 hours to get off the mountain, is if they're actually going to come into town and steal supplies that they need. And that's the only time they come into town. So some people in the town don't even know that they actually exist. But they do. And they've been up there for 200 years. And a coal company now wants to take over the land to strip mine it. And they need this family off the land. So they take up the services of the local sheriff, who has a history with this clan on the mountain, and make him responsible for kicking the family off the land. So it's basically you know, the little guy versus a corporation story. You know what I mean? And but it's got so many more intricacies because there's so much conflict within the family as well, because it's a family trying to find their rightful leader amongst this. Having a fight with this big coal company.
Just watch out for the city folk canoeing through their property. Then,
yeah, no, it's not Deliverance.
Oh,
it's not.
It's not.
Well, and most importantly, it's from a Dave's Rules perspective, it's safe to watch now because you are in season two.
Yeah,
I refuse to watch anything season one just because I wait to see if it's going to get renewed, so I don't wind up mad.
Yeah,
when it's not.
We've been really proud of the show. It's done really well. It broke all sorts of records for WGN. So WGN and Sony love the show, and they approved season two, and nothing official on season three yet, but it's looking pretty good. So, yeah, I'm excited. It's been a fun thing to be a part of. For
so, and you've done, I know you've done at least one con around here. So, you know, if anybody were listening from, say, you know, like Motor City Comic Con, that was looking for local media guests.
You're available that weekend.
You know, and I'm not that far away.
You are. You've got a good hook, and yeah.
You don't have to get a hotel room.
Don't have to fly you in.
Yeah, you know that Motor City got rid of wrestling, which was the best part.
That was
wrestling
a lot of
ring
fun.
In the middle of the whole con. How cool is that?
That was a lot of fun back in the day. I did a few of those shows.
Until Billy D got mad.
I know. That was why. Did you know that?
No, Lando, he ruins everything.
Seriously. I like Code 45. I don't like Code 45. I'll do a station ID for you. I won't do a station ID for you.
Right.
You
know. So, obviously. So, you know, filming in and around Detroit, you know, the obvious question. So, what was it like being on the Batman v Superman set? I mean, that's probably the biggest film that came out of this area.
Now, were you on South and Updike?
No. The studio.
Yeah.
Well, I filmed one day at the studio on a green screen. They had a giant green screen in a parking lot because my scene was with a Superman statue. So they had half of this Superman statue built and everything was green screen around it. And then one day I filmed down on Belle Isle. But
so yeah. We were at the Russell when they were doing the boat scene.
All the Aquaman. Yeah.
No, that wasn't really. We thought it was Aquaman, but it was just going through the boats.
It was just boats. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was in.
They had all the stadium lighting at the Russell, and they had apparently the Batcave was there.
Yeah.
They
up on six.
Yeah. If you went on the sixth floor, you were immediately terminated from your lease. It was it was nice. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never signed so many NDAs as I did on that movie. It was pretty insane. I remember one of my friends was a
so who wins, Jay? So who wins, Jay? So who wins? Come on, man, just tell me who wins.
One of the guys I play hockey with was a production assistant. He was telling me a story about how all the big wigs from Chrysler came because the Dodges were all over the movie, and they came, and he even had to confiscate their phones, like the head of Chrysler. And he's like, I felt weird about it, but we made them sign NDAs and confiscate their phones so they can't take any pictures or anything. So
who wins, Sergio? So who wins, Sergio?
So, I mean, with, you know, obviously, so you're going to Pittsburgh for the WGN stuff. I mean, like, so what kind of impact has – you know, the removal of those incentives and that sort of had on the – because, I mean, there are still productions going on around here, just not as many.
Yeah.
Well, Batman with Bane was all in Pittsburgh. Like,
yeah.
That's really prevalent. Prevalent. Prevalent.
Yeah,
too
absolutely.
Many Jägermeisters. It's your fault.
Because Pennsylvania has great tax incentives for films, but also certain areas, like the Pittsburgh area itself, has – even more tax incentives for films. And they filmed a lot. They just filmed Fences, which is up for all. They were filming at the same time we were filming Outsiders. There's another TV show filming there, Downward Dog. There's a Netflix show, Mindhunter, filming there. There's quite a few things filming in that area. So
we used to have those kind of incentives here, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Before I moved to Detroit.
Yeah.
It wasn't an incentive. It was like a check. It wasn't saying you're getting this tax free. It was like, hey, if you spend $100, we'll give you a check for $300.
Wow.
It was just it brought a bunch of, like, they were hoping for the business to kind of trickle around. Like, hey, if we'll give you $300 from that $100 you spent, you'll spend that $200 here. And it didn't really work like that. It just ended up being a huge money pit.
Hmm. Well, they also
didn't give it long enough. I mean,
they did.
Well, because you had all these, you know, you had film studios that were starting to get built.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they pulled it.
Yeah. Right.
Big studio in Pontiac is now just sitting there. And they spent a lot of money. Not only that, but a lot of schools.
Is that just empty now?
A lot of schools. I don't know what else they're doing.
There was the other one in
Allen Park.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one went under. That was a big.
Well, it's got
a big thing.
That's the thing, though. Like,
everything in Allen Park fails. Let's right.
Lions. We're gonna get angry tweets from Allen Park's mayor. Damn.
No, but that's the thing, though.
Hashtag Lions.
States that it's got to be tough making investments in film when you have states like yes, no,
yeah.
Then the next person governor that comes in might say yes again.
That's a perfect story. When the Avengers, the people were they were just in town scouting things, and it was when Snyder first got. Elected, and he just mentioned maybe getting rid of the incentives. They packed up everything and left right there.
Wow.
They're like, we don't want to deal with maybe, you know?
Right.
And so unfortunately, most of the stuff I work on now is out of town. I have done some local stuff. Like, I'm going to be in an episode of the new show Detroiters that is going to be on Comedy Central.
Which looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks it was a lot of fun filming. Yeah,
and Jordan's in that too.
Is she really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so I play, at least in one episode, I'm playing a biker in that. And had a scene. Yeah, exactly. Had a scene with the two main characters. That's a lot of fun. That starts February 7th, I believe, on Comedy Central. And I just did a local Michigan Lottery commercial. You know, I'm a scratch-off winner.
You're looking
know?
Lost in an aisle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in a grocery store looking lost. I would actually be lost at a grocery store. I know. That's what I don't want to say.
He doesn't
that.
Tell you about the last 3 years where you scratched off and lost, but this time you won, so now yay.
Yeah, but I'm still like $300 in the hole right. even after this win.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's still local things that, like industrial films and stuff like that, film here, commercials and things like that. But unfortunately, the major big projects, even like right now, this White Boy Rick movie is being filmed
right
in Cleveland.
Oh. So. Yeah, which, yeah.
So that's what happens. Cleveland gets a lot of filming.
Didn't the Irishman, though, from Cleveland like was filmed here, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was actually one of my first auditions ever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. For Kill the Irishman, I auditioned for the biker that lives a few houses down, and they're all loud, and he gets into a fight with the Irishman.
My bouncer at the post had a couple of scenes in it where, like, I'm watching. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Mike.
Well, that's my buddy Jimmy Doom, actually.
Okay.
Got that role that I auditioned for. That was the first thing I ever auditioned for.
Huh, cool.
It's pretty interesting.
It's a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, I dug it.
So I guess, like, other than The Outsiders, anything else we should be looking for you in or anything coming up on the horizon?
Like I said, Detroiters coming up. I've been in talks with some coordinators and stuff like that about possibly a feature film in Chicago, a feature in South Carolina, you know, stuff here and there. So just got to stay busy. And then hopefully in May we'll be back for season 3 Outsiders. Hopefully.
Nice. So, and I guess the obvious question, if someone is looking to get into it, what advice would you have for them other than don't?
Move somewhere else. No, there's a lot of there's still some acting schools here in the area. I know Michigan Actors Studio, Rich Gotteria, Gotteria Creative Arts. They do some. I'm actually going to be doing a little workshop with him in March for like physical acting. But it's basically training. You know, people. Even my son, he's graduating high school, and he did theater in high school, and now he wants to be an actor, and he thinks he's just going to graduate, and he's just going to become an actor. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. You need to train.
No, I don't care what you're – yeah, that's – yeah.
And move to L.A. and become an actress, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Right. I mean, a waiter.
In porn.
But it's –
yeah. I mean, a waiter. I mean, an actor. I mean, a waiter. I mean
– oh, yeah, really? You're an actor? What restaurant?
Applebee's. Exactly.
You have your apron with your checkbook and with your script, your –
right, and headshots. Yeah,
But just getting an education on it, not only getting acting education, but trying to get as much education as far as how films work and how TV works. Just if you're able to volunteer to be a production assistant so you can learn how it is to be on set and stuff like that. That's
so, I mean, like, there are stuff like you can volunteer and like just get engaged that way and just kind of start seeing what's going on.
Yeah, and there's also companies that around here that just hire extras too. And start out as an extra. You don't get paid a lot. It's long hours, but you get to see how it is on set and kind of get an education and make yourself a little bit more aware of how things work. Yeah.
So when they did the remake of Red Dawn.
I was an extra in that.
Were you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was. I talked to somebody. They said they needed a couple of big guys to play for football players. And I said, I'm totally in. And I needed to take a week off. And I was working for Hewlett-Packard. And I said, hey, I told my boss I need to take a week off. I'm going to, you know, be an extra for Red Dawn. He's like, you're fired if you do that. Like, I'm done with you.
So that's when Bob found a new job.
Exactly. 4 years later, but yeah, right. I did.
What I wanted to make sure that I talk about, the acting and stuff is great, but what I really came in for is to try to get some press for March 25th. We're doing a big...
Yeah, because you're still playing hockey.
Yeah, I still play hockey every week. We're doing a big charity hockey game to benefit United Cerebral Palsy of Detroit. We're playing against the Detroit Red Wing alumni, which is a blast. I got to do it last year. We get to play against guys like Mickey Redmond, Johnny Ogrodnik, Peter Klima, all these guys. It's an awesome event. And this year it's March 25th. It's going to be at Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
Okay.
And if you go to skatewithoutlimits.org, has all the information about it. What it is it's a big event. We do actually a sled dog game, sled hockey game beforehand.
So Uwe Krupp is there.
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
Nah. Sorry, old Red Wings didn't say it. Okay.
We get these this team called the Michigan Sled Dogs, who are a group of disabled men and women that play on sleds, and they have specialized hockey sticks that have spikes in them, and they move along sticks.
I've seen that, yeah.
And, so we put them in a game against guys who have never been on a sled before, or maybe once. And, and that's a blast. You see these guys just get skated around, and so it's a lot of fun. So we do the sled dog game, and then we have a silent auction with tons of great items. And I've actually been talking with WGN. I might actually have a signed copy of season one of Outsiders, signed by the entire cast.
Nice.
That we'll be having at the auction. And then we do the charity game, the alumni game, where we play against the alumni and they kick our butts.
So tickets are how much? Do you know?
I believe tickets are usually, I think they're either $10 or $15. I'm not sure on that. Like I said, skatewithoutlimits.org has all the information. Every player also takes donations. So if you go to that website and then you click on UCP Pucksters, that's what they call us, the Pucksters.
Okay.
And you can scroll down to my name, Jay Adams, and you can actually donate to my page to help me. Yeah, we all have goals that we have to reach before we can even get on the ice. So it's an awesome event. Last year we raised over $40,000.
Wow,
for United Cerebral Palsy of Detroit, and it's a great event, and it's a lot of fun. Even if you can't donate, if you want to come to the game, because it's a lot of fun to actually see all these old timers that we used to watch growing up still play awesome.
So we have the Red Wings alumni podcast here at Podcast Detroit.
I was going to say need to get him in here with Newman and Agrodnik. Yeah, absolutely. Those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Grodnik's awesome. I talked with him a lot last year. I got to talk to him about my stunt work and stuff like that. And we had mentioned that Kevin Smith is supposed to do a hockey movie in Detroit at one point. And Johnny Grodnik wants me to get him on the movie. He's like, I know I'm old, but I can still play. You know? Absolutely. That would be awesome.
I met him in the parking lot at Fraser Hockeyland, got him to sign like a hat. Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, John O'Grodnik. Like marked out kid.
He's a cool guy, man. Anyway, yeah. I sat and talked with him and his wife for a while after the game. They're cool people. And that's what's cool, too, because most of the players hang out afterward. You can get stuff signed that you have. It's a great event for everybody.
Good.
Very cool.
We'll post that on the
recap.
We love
stuff like that.
Yeah. Is there anywhere to follow? Did you make your own page on Facebook where you can hit like on, or
I
always forget. Is the page the one with the period or not with the period?
To be honest, I don't know. All I know is it's J Adams Stunts for everything. So Twitter, J Adams Stunts, Instagram, J Adams Stunts, and I'm pretty sure Facebook, J Adams Stunts. That's the, I don't know if it's called a
I'll edit the
fan
Instagram picture
or...
I just took. I just put J Adams. I'll change that.
So yeah, J Adams Stunts for everything. You can find me. I'm out there all the time. I'm always on doing something online. So.
Awesome.
Jay, always good seeing you. Appreciate it. This is going to wrap things up here for episode 181 of the IT and the D Show. I'd like to thank the team from Merit for being out here. Woo. I'd like to thank Jay Adams on behalf of myself, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Thank you to our sponsors, Fellows, Blue Apron, Host Gator. Do us all a favor.
Nice job remembering, Bob. I'm impressed.
Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. Just get the hell out of here. Drive careful. See you next week.
Beat it. Brian Fellows.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear a lamentation of the women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out! And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like... Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys.
Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? No!
Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
That's all, folks.